Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the Unfiltered
and Undiscovered podcast.
Hey there, everyone. It's Curly here, and welcome to the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast. This is episode 130, and yes, we are still going. We've got a fantastic guest tonight. Please welcome Katie Brooke from that thriving metropolis in northern New South Wales. And let me get this right, it's Mumblegum.
Oh, you nailed it.
All right. Yay. Which is near Lismore, which is near Byron, which is near Nimbin, which is near Yamba, all those beautiful parts of northern New South Wales. And finally, we've got a New South Wales person to
support Rossi.
Support Rossi.
Versus them.
And of course, we've got our co-hosts. We've got Braggy in Adelaide, and we've got Rossi in Sydney. How are you, boys?
Excellent.
Fantastic. Excellent. It's lovely to be here on this very hot Sydney evening.
Oh, yeah, the weather's it's called summer, isn't it?
It is. I think it's when they start playing cricket.
It is. Oh. And the Big Bash starts on Thursday, but you had a big day at the cricket on Sunday, I believe, Brady.
I was torn because I went to the Adelaide Oval to watch the final of the WBBL, the Women's League, because I love watching the girls play. I took my daughter and a few other friends were there. And I was torn because it was Adelaide Strikers versus Brisbane Heat. So, but I was going for my adopted state and we won. So that was good.
They won.
Yeah. Yeah. The best bit of news of cricket this week is that England traveled to the West Indies to play a one-day series. The West Indies were so bad at one-day cricket these days, they couldn't even make the World Cup, and England lost to them.
No. God, the glory days of Calypso cricket were fantastic too.
Weren't they what? And I love it. How good is that? How good is that?
And they're on the way back, the West Indies. They're on the way back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and all those kids have stopped playing basketball and they're playing cricket again.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Just need to find some more money as basketballers.
You've got to take your hat off to the W Big Bash League, because there have been some moments, and we've been talking moments of the year, because next week we've got our award show and we're going to do a segment around our favourite moment of the year. But how good was that moment? Of course, I'm just totally unprepared because this has just come to my mind. I don't even know the lady's name, but the one that broke a bat hitting the six.
Yeah, go on.
That's amazing. And just her attitude before the ball. I need a new bat. It's broken. And they said, do you want it now? She said, no, I'll hit it anyway. And she whacks it for the six and the bat breaks. And
Grace Harris.
Yeah. So I reckon that is the moment of the year for cricket of all forms. And I think that's exceptional. Hey, Rossi, I've got to show you this. I've got my T-shirt day direct from Support Act on their website. Supporting Support Act. And of course, you got to, you know, when you believe in something, you got to put your money where your mouth is, don't you? So
we had
a bit of a dig at some bands last week that were supporting Oz Music Day. Even the Prime Minister supported Oz Music Day.
Excellent.
And didn't talk about Support Act. And that's the thing. It raises funds for Support Act.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, I just cannot have a dig at people and not go and do the right thing. So that evening I bought the Kylie shirt.
Nothing wrong with that one.
I'm glad you chose Kylie too. You know, way back, like, because I'm old, when I remember Kylie from Neighbours, and then when she went to see and she came out with the Locomotion. Yeah, I was, because I was a rock and roll guy. I was terrible. I was one of the first guys to go, "Ah, it's bullshit. You can't just jump from there to that." And, but man, how wrong was I? She's just the hardest working, you know, one of the hardest working Australian acts of all time. And hats off to her. I love her. Yeah, I was so wrong.
Yeah, I've had a bit of exposure to her a couple of times. On one occasion, one of the members of Pocket Watch actually was doing something and met her, and she was delightful.
Yes.
Mm. And another time, a really good friend of mine, Johnny Pierce, also known as Johnny Rocketeer, he's a jeweler and he does rock and roll jewelry. And he went to England and he was living in England. And he actually, he's from Brisbane. He was an old punk. Do you remember a place in the valley called the Love Inn?
Yes, yes.
He booked the Love Inn, right? This guy, Johnny Pierce, he also did a lot of the Morticia's gigs and stuff like that. He's an old Brisbane punk, right?
Yeah.
So Piercy did his trade as a jeweler, Johnny Rocketeer his name is, and he went to England and he ended up being like jeweler to the stars. So he did like in the clip for The Darkness, I believe in a thing called Love, he did all the jewelry that Justin Hawkins wears. He did it for Jamiroquai. But he did a whole bunch of jewelry for Kylie's tour. He did Kylie's tour jewelry. And he just said she was so lovely and he just loves her. And if Piercy, the punk from Brisbane, says she's a delightful person, I have no doubt in the world she is.
Yeah. Especially and, working so intimately with her.
Yeah, that's right. Like she couldn't fool him, I tell you. He's a straight arrow.
Yeah. And Braggy, is it no surprise that Rossi knows someone who knows someone who knows Colin Rowe?
He's about 3 degrees from everybody, every muso on the planet.
All right, Katie. So please welcome and thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We welcome Katie Brooke, who country music's been part of your life. I'm reading in the publicity blurb. So, Katie, how are you and welcome?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. This is great. I'm enjoying it already.
Katie, they always give me the first question, and I usually like to start by asking our guests, where was the big bang for you? How old were you? Were your parents into music, or what was the spark that you went, oh, shit, music, it's a thing. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, well, I think as soon as I could walk and talk, I was putting on concerts for my parents in the living room, and I was telling everyone I was going to be a singer. So ever since I can remember, there were obviously other things in my life that I thought, oh, I'd love to do that too, but music has always, always been at the forefront. And then I sort of pestered my parents for years and years until finally towards the end of primary school, they sent me to vocal lessons because I just really wanted to go and get singing lessons. So I got classically trained for 3 years and then picked up a guitar at about 13 and then off I went. And my dad, well, they didn't play music, but they love music. My dad particularly loved country music. And I always tell him that he brainwashed me into loving country because, you know, he'd just always have some sort of Patsy Cline or Hank Williams or something playing. And then we loved 90s country so much. My brother and I, you know, we just had the most epic CD collection ever. And I just wanted to be Faith Hill. My daughter's name's Faith as well, so I'm a
this kiss. I love it.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that song.
Absolutely, she's amazing. So, you know, all of those Trisha Yearwood, Faith Hill, Martina McBride, all of those 90s ladies, I just wanted to be exactly like that. And even now, you know, when I go into the studio, I say, if we're going to do a pop country song, make sure it's 90s pop country, which is very different. It's really still got that real country essence about it. And I want to kind of preserve that a little bit. And I'm a little bit old-fashioned still, with my country. I do really like, you know, the Alan Jackson, George Strait, Brooks and Dunn kind of sound. And with a little bit of alternate country as well. And then, through my teens, my parents every weekend, they said, you know, let's go, let's get on the road and go to a festival or a talent quest. And by the age of 16, I was doing the Academy, the Country Music Academy, and then the senior one and doing the Tamworth festivals. And it just went on from there. And I'm 33 now, and I suppose not a lot has happened, but I had a little bit of a slow burn during my 20s and did other things and did just 10 years of cover gigs, really. Just worked hard getting good.
That's where you learn.
Yeah.
Hey, the Beatles Beatles did 3 years of cover gigs in Hamburg, you know. So that's why, and that's why.
Repetition, repetition, repetition. I've always said there's nothing wrong with a band 100 gigs isn't going to fix.
Yeah, absolutely. I did get to the stage towards the end where it burnt me out a little bit to the point where I didn't want to write music or pick up my guitar through the week. And that's when I sort of thought it's getting a little bit of a problem because I'm starting to dread it a little bit. I started to feel a little bit underappreciated. You know, the footy screen was behind me and I was kind of,
it's been 10 years.
And I went, I was about 30 and I went, it's been 10 years. Let's just not do that. And then COVID came around and kind of nipped that in the bud for me anyway. And I was stuck at home not doing gigs. And I finally wrote an album. All of a sudden I had this debut album, which is out now as well. I put that out last year. And it's a bit of a silly time because I was pregnant then. But I was like, whatever, let's just put some music out. People will circle back. It's been a slow burn all this time anyway. Mm. So, you know, let's do it. And I'm enjoying
it. It's interesting you say that because so many people have spoken to in the last year have spoken about that period being pivotal for them, that people took a lot of time for self-reflection to decide if this is really what they want to do, or took the time to actually take the time out to write, which is really hard to find time to be creative, especially in a busy world. We all have to eat. We all have to, we all have to function to get things going. So it's no surprise to me that you're saying that because, it's a pretty common story at the moment that people have just built, they've consolidated what they've been working on in the last year. And that's and it's evident the amount of work I'm seeing, creative stuff. It's like a creative spring has burst forth, and it's exciting to see, I think.
It is. It is such a, well, I don't like the word saturated, but there is a lot. Like, there's a lot in country music now. I sort of grew up in the industry, and, you know, Tamworth Country Music Festival 10, 15 years ago was very, very different, and a very, very different market, different artists. And there's just about, you know, three times the amount of artists now. And it's exciting. Mm. But it's also daunting when you've seen it from there to there, you know. But yeah, country music's having a moment. It definitely is.
but yeah, you're a woman. You've got a guitar. You've got stories. Yeah.
And a mother. I mean,
and a mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that. You know, like it is hard to. Yeah. Like. Yeah. That's the baseline. There's nowhere for you to hide. You've got a guitar. Yeah. You're singing. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Brave. That's what crazy country music brave. Is, isn't it?
Crazy brave.
Yeah.
So let me get this right before. Sorry, Katie, for interrupting. Yeah, if you're a country bloke, you need a truck and a dog, right? and a girl that's left them. But for a country music female, a fresh female, we need to have a guitar and. Hopefully
a broken heart
or and a bub.
Yeah.
Is that the story?
That's so country. Live in the hills. But I did think that. I caught myself thinking one night when I was up late. I went, I'm in my 30s now, early 30s, but still in my 30s. I live rurally, which a lot of people say, no, you've got to move, you know, to the city if you want your career to work. And now I'm a mum. And I was like, man. But then I went, you know what? Even more reason to get out there and make it work so other people can see, wow, she made that work. Like Fanny Lumsden, she's a little bit similar to me. I look at people like that as such expanders for me because I go, I can do that too. You know, it's not to say that you have to tick all these boxes to make something work in music, and that's the beauty of it.
Everyone, and we do it ourselves, Rossi, don't we? We bag kind of the way the music industry is at the moment, you know, with Spotify and all that. But more and more people who aren't from the big city, who are a little bit, have been in the game a little bit longer, they're starting to break through, you know? That's because everyone's got a chance. Everyone's got a shot.
Yeah.
More people have got a shot at it these days than they ever had before.
Absolutely. And it's just consistency.
It is. Good product will always win through. Like, authenticity and decent work will always work, you know. Yep. That's the thing. Yep. Like, you know, Sydney used to have Triple J. Triple J was Sydney's or Double J was Sydney's. And when it went national, Sydney kind of tanked because we lost our voice. But then nationally, everyone else gained a voice. Australia's gain was Sydney's loss.
Yes.
Just remember that.
Yeah, it was. It was I remember when that came to Townsville, Triple J. It was a massive surge in bands and things because all of a sudden you could get heard on radio, you know?
Yeah, it's such a great thing.
But there's a lot of country, like there's this network, this country network, which I've only just, in the last year started to identify how massive it is. It's how many people are working and working hard and doing really well. Yeah, like that's it's extraordinary. And there's so much extraordinary talent popping up, you know?
Yeah. And there's so many country blues festivals that are out there.
Micro festivals, middle and micro, that are
open to bringing on some of these fresh artists that are coming through. And I think that's the really exciting thing, because how many of the old, I think last week, Rossi, you made comment about Canned Heat propping up the Big Day Out or whatever it was, or the blues.
Byron Bay Blues Fest,
For so many years. And that still seems to be the formula. Put on Genga Jang, get them to reform and put them in a headline act. And, you know, whereas the country artists seem to be very much focused on, well, who's coming through? And we're seeing this massive explosion of people like James Johnson that have just come from nowhere this year. Huge shows. Amazing.
Well, Laura's festival she was talking about, where they got that venue with the mountain behind them and all that sort of stuff. Like, that's
Laura Frank,
there's so much of that sort of micro festival stuff. Like, there's a pub in Bellingen, there's a pub in the South Coast. I can't remember where it is. It's not Bellingen because that's not there. Anyway, they have like 10, 12 bands on this little festival there. And bands that, like, I know my oldest mate who I met in kindergarten, his son is the drummer in one of the bands, and they're doing very well. And I'm like going, what? Yeah, like,
wow.
There's this whole life force outside of the city, outside of the big cities, and an infrastructure where people can perform. Yeah.
And if you're happy, you could probably have something every month, I would say now, in country alone. But then, if you met in the middle and did your country folk or country blues or country rock. Yeah, it's all because it's all infusing together now, which is really nice too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, before we go any further, let's talk about Braggy's trivia. So tonight we're doing something a little bit different to our listeners and our followers. We're not doing a Braggy Who Am I? And I know I can hear the people saying,
turning off.
Yeah, please don't turn off. No. This is something we're testing. For the coming year. So we thought, let's see how trivia works. So Braggy, you explain what's going to happen.
We're going to do same little three breaks like we do for the Who Am I. I'm going to ask you guys three questions for each break. You might need a pen and a paper.
Yeah.
And I figure, because like I said, I think it should be the guest and Curly versus Rossi. I think that's fair. That's a fair fight. You give a handicap. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a couple of easy ones, but I'm not going to make it easy because I can't make it easy because Rossi will just roll his eyes at
me. Oh, no way.
So I'm going to start.
I have no chance already. I know it.
No, it's all right. It's all right, Kay. Don't feel left out. There'll be questions in here for everyone, I reckon.
Okay.
I'm going to start with a hard one, possibly. Who is Declan McManus?
Yeah, that's tricky, wasn't it?
Ross has got it.
I was just thinking about him.
And I grabbed my phone.
You're just thinking about him?
I was just thinking about him when you talked about Blues Fest. I was going to name check him, actually.
Just to give Katie and Curly a clue, it's he goes by another stage name.
Oh, fancy that. That's a great clue.
Okay, we're going to move along. That's question one. Question two. Question two, you ready? Name the only Australian act to have a hit single in 5 consecutive decades. Now.
Act. You're saying act. So it's not necessarily a band or a solo. It's an act. It could be either. It could be.
That's why I said act, because I didn't want to give it away. 5 decades.
I'm guessing one. I've got a guess on that one.
Okay. You ready for the last one for this section?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So each one of those was worth 1 point. This one is worth 3 points. This question is worth 3 points. Okay.
So this is the tough one.
That's not a tough one. I don't think so.
Well, this is the tough one.
This is not the tough one. The first one was tough. I'm gonna give you a lyric, and you have to write down what lyric comes next and write down the song and the artist. Okay, you ready? Mm. I will squeeze the life out of you.
So the lyric that comes next, and then you want the artist.
And the song for 3 points.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Katie, we got 3 points.
Do we?
Yeah.
Do I hope you have 3 points.
Okay. That's it. That's the first section.
Well done. Hey, well, that's interesting. All right.
Hey, do the answers now?
No. We wait till the end.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But we'll get 3 points. Right. All right.
You go, Curly.
Well, I was just going to start talking about Katie's music.
I think that's a good idea.
That's good.
What I was going to do. Tell us about Too Far Down, Katie. Tell us about how that came about. What's that about?
Oh, it's been a tough single release, this one, because, you know, you have to start talking about the song. And I remember going, oh, my God, I've got to talk about this song, because I literally just wrote it. I just wrote it. I hardly thought about it. It was such a flow one morning just out of bed. And then same thing, picked up the guitar. I was like, oh, that sounds good. It was kind of done, you know, easily within a day coming back to it, you know. If I'd sat down, it'd probably only be an hour, right? And, it's metaphorical, obviously, and I look at it now and I go, well, it's about standing in your power and about being authentic, as we were just talking about. It's about being authentic to who you are, as much as, you know, we can be tempted to go, well, this person's doing this and this is the easy road and this is what I feel like I should be doing. And it's about comparison and all that kind of stuff that kind of comes with this career, I guess, and life. Mm. So the good thing about metaphors and everything like that is it can be interpreted different ways, and I might interpret it differently in time as well. But that's basically what Too Far Down is about, and this is a little bit different to what I've put out before, and I love it. I think, I took 3 songs to my producer, and this was a bit more alternate, a bit more traditional country. The other two were quite, I guess, modern country. And I said to him, you know, these will obviously be more likable on country radio or more appealing for things like that. And, you know, but we kept going back to this one. We both really loved this song and everything was easy about it. It came together so organically. And, I'm proud of this one.
Dip my toe in empty waters and I start to compare. Tell myself the water's cooler than this bowl of it there. So badly wanna swim in this uncharted territory. So badly wanna see how it falls down to the creek. But it's too far down, even in the shadow.
good song. So when you write song, when do you realize that this one's probably going to be a single? And the second part of that question is, who's your biggest critic? Who do you take it? Do you take it to the producer first, or if you've got someone closer to you? I know with me, I've only got to play something that I've written to my wife, and I'm going to get it either.
Yeah. You know? And is your wife musical at all, or is she just sort of going off?
She's not musical, but she's very knowledgeable about it. She loves it, and she'll just tell me straight. She'll just go, boring, or,
boring. Yeah. Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Same, yeah.
But you need that, I feel.
He is probably the first one, and same thing. And he loves music. He doesn't just love country either. He's got a really wide listening, you know, he loves kind of anything rocky or whatever.
Yeah.
So, kind of take it to him. I do trust my own instincts. I'm probably very critical, though, as well. And then I'd take it to the producer and see what he thinks. And he's pretty, like, he won't have a strong, strong opinion, but he's pretty... Yeah. So, but you could tell with this one, he really liked it. So I thought, yeah, me too. You know, we're both on the same page with this one.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? Everybody's a punter, whether it's the producer or your partner. And in the end, they're the people that are going to, listen to the record.
And that's just the bones of it too. The thing is, you know, that's the demo. Sometimes I go, this might be really different though once we start working on this. You know, this could... fill up a lot more. It could go a lot of different directions and become something else, which is what I'm looking at now for the next songs. You know, we're sort of going, what's going to fit and what concept is working and what's going to build really nicely.
Yeah.
So when you talk about singles, it's the, and this is, yeah, the age old question again. Here we go, Braggy.
Yeah.
So it's a strategy. It's a like, like, what is it? Do we do this day? Do we release a physical version or do we do it digitally? And if we do it digitally, do we release multiple songs at once, like an EP or four songs, or just one at a time? And how often do we do it? Like, how do you make those decisions?
And it's hard because I'm not under a label. I don't have a manager. I have a really good publicist. That's it. I only got her this year. This release is the first time I've ever even used a publicist. So it's only ever been me and my producer. And it's been a real, like, learning as I go, self-managed artist, which I think is cool because, you know, you really build a lot of experience in a lot of different layers and levels of the industry. But that is because we are just on the verge of that switch, right? We only just started going into this, singles. We need to release singles now, whereas we're so used to in the last, forever, just listening to records and albums. And I don't know, I love a larger body of work. And I think some songs belong on that larger body of work and not as a single. I have a handful of songs, actually probably more at the moment, that would belong really well on a record. There's nothing wrong with them. It's not that they're not good enough as a single. It's just they don't sound like a single to me. And I guess it depends on your genre as well, because I'm not a pop artist. You know, I'm country or alt country a little bit as well. So, yeah, that's kind of – but I think I'll do a single and I'll do what they're doing. I think I'll release two or three more singles next year and try and space it out. I think it's about 3 or 4 months, isn't it, is the popular
kind of time frame. Doing,
and then a larger body of work after that.
Or collect some of those works and bolt them onto a larger body of work. It's just interesting because the model is changing all the time. But sometimes when you release a larger body of work, some songs don't get the love they deserve.
That was what happened to my album, because I released and everyone's going, oh, you need to get your following to this many people. And I just don't, I should follow the rules. It's probably my problem. But I kind of went, I want to do it. I just follow my heart so much and I go, I just want to release it. You know, yes, I'm 20 weeks pregnant and it's still a bit of COVID and it's all of this, but I just want to put my album out because I just believe that people will circle back when they find you. So now when people find me, they go, Too Far Down, great song. And then they can go, oh, there's an album here I haven't heard. And, you know, it has been happening.
See, that's the thing, though. That is the other thing, and I've had this discussion with an artist close to me about you need to have a body of work. You need to have a body of work that when people do find you, You just don't look as though you just popped up out of the ground and done nothing. You need to have a history behind you. You need you need to not have just appeared. You need to have proven that you've worked hard to get to that.
And I think it kind of grabs that them. It's going to pull them down because they're going to find maybe. Me too.
I'll always deep dive. When I find something you want to go, what else have they been doing?
And it's easy because we've got it on our Spotify or whoever we listen to. We just click on that artist literally and there's their work. So I do want people to click on me and go, wow, there's this album. She did a cover of a Zach Bryan song. She's got all these songs she solo wrote. Like, I'm really proud of that. And whether I've got just my mum and my neighbour listening for now, I have trust. I don't know. I just trust in it. And I believe in a slow burn and I believe it all circles back in the end. Yeah, so I'm happy for that. And I know a lot of young people now saying to me, no, I'm not going to release this song until I've got 50,000 followers. And I think, well, why are they going to follow you though? You know, it's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know?
100%.
I'm a fan of the old way of doing it, whereas I think you have to play live too.
Oh,
You've got to deal, and you've got to deliver when you do. Because people can spot a phony. They know if you're a phony.
And I'll tell you why, Rossi. Because if you go to a live gig and see someone, you're going to tell 10 times more people about that than you are than when you listen to one thing during your car ride.
I agree.
And you drag people along to the next gig.
That's what I try and do. If there's someone there that does stay all night, asks about my music, kind of there's this interaction all night. At the end of the night, I try and do a couple of things. I try and learn their name and maybe, you know, get them to follow me on social media. So I follow them back and I make a friend. It's not just about, oh, this person's going to be my fan. I just want to make a friend. And that's how you make friends and meet people and have connections. But it's also, hopefully they can be not just a fan, but, oh, I know Katie. I know what she talks about in her sets and things like that.
So in a way, what Spotify has done is, even though it's the modern way we listen to things, we're going back to the old way. You have to go out and play live, Rossi, and build a following. Where before Spotify, a lot of those big bands didn't tour. They just put out an album.
Well, that's their revenue stream, that and merch when they're touring, T-shirts and baseball hats and all sorts. I saw a band that were over here from New York a couple of weeks ago called the Lemon Twigs. So he's two brothers from New York. And I haven't been knocked out by a band like these guys in 20 years, I reckon.
Cool.
These two brothers had the Beach Boys and the Beatles harmonies going all night.
Oh, wow.
And the four-piece band. And their songwriting is just extraordinary. I was dragged along by a young person I know, and I had to stand there and I was, you know, dragging my heels. And like 30 seconds in, I've just gone, what the fuck is this? And it was pop. It was beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah.
And that's what it does, you know. You got to see those bands and those performers live because that you can't beat that experience, I don't think.
It is different. I've found that too. I've, you know, seen people live and gone, oh, I didn't think they sounded like that on Spotify. I didn't know I liked them that much. And I'll go back and I go, no, I do like them. You know, it kind of reaffirms for people. Yeah.
When you listen to the records again, the records then transport you back to how they actually sound, right?
That's the thing too. You've heard them in that zone, yeah.
So speaking of, we talked about doing deep dive. I've done deep dive on Katie Brook.
Oh, no.
So the unpaid parking ticket, what's that about?
There's probably a lot of tickets there.
You know, this is the truth. When I first played Too Far Down, I thought, wow, it's really traditional country. And the first thing you said tonight was, oh, you know, I'm really into that traditional style country. Because the first things I wrote down was, I actually thought you sounded like Dolly Parton.
Oh, like wow. I've never heard that. Cool.
That's just the same tone. If I can have her tone, maybe. Same sort of tone.
Well, that song, definitely, yeah.
Anyway, so I listened to your album. I just want to say, because there's a part at the end of the show where Curly quotes a lyric from one of the artists that we have interviewed over the years, and we've got a playlist. And I was listening to your album, and it's not all that traditional sort of country. There's some real outlawry, minor sort of stuff in there that I really like. One song I really like, and I'm going to quote a lyric here because, Curly, it's definitely a lyric. And it could only be a lyric from an Australian country song, Katie. I love it. It's from Wanted Man. And it says, no halo around that body. Some say he's a little dodgy. I just love that. He's a little dodgy. That is so Australian. That's fantastic.
That is Aussie. That's really Aussie.
It's so good. It's very good. I love it.
Thank you.
That's all right. I appreciate that.
Deal. Wrap her up, looks could kill, but peel back those many layers, you'll find she's just a faker. Delicate putty in his hands, falling hard for the dangerous man. She can't handle what is coming, but by God she'll pretend.
That up, that's good. Tick.
Yeah. There's some real what you've been talking about, Katie, about people going back and diving into the catalog brought me back to my grade nine days when I first heard Sure Know Something or I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss. And you know, within that 12-month period, I think I had every single one of their cassettes that had already been produced, and I had the whole story of Kiss, and it was just amazing. A magical time to go back and explore. And the other thing that resonated with me was when you were talking about those live works, Rossi, and I remember seeing Ganga Jang at Queensland Uni when the Riptides had gone, Mark Callahan's, it was the first sort of stuff that he was putting out. I think House of Cards was the big single at the time. And he played this song called I Don't Dream, and just the guitar just reverbed around. And that song still sticks with me, the way they played it live. When he produced it on a B-side, it was lame as, you know. Yeah. And I just think, my God, what did I miss? Because live I can still hear him saying, that's the reason why I don't dream at night. And it was just like, it was just such a vivid, deep guitar. And then it was just really lame when it was recorded. So,
oh, damn.
It's hard. It's so, Katie, hard though.
That's Katie, what's your live setup? Do you do a lot of, solo stuff, or is it just with the band all the time? Or
Solo for years, and it's still pretty solo. I'm manifesting, I'd love to find a band around here. And we're not, like, it's a little bit rural, but we're not short on good musos around this area. So that's something I'll try and build, because I've got Rusty Crooks, my producer, and he plays guitar and lots of things on all my work. And, the thing is, like, my main band, like, they tour with Catherine Britt, and, like, Rusty plays for the Sunny Cowgirls. And so I can kind of grab them in between things, but I can't have them all the time, and they're all down sort of Sydney Central Coast way. So I'll grab them for bigger festivals. But, yeah, if I can start getting someone a little bit more permanent, he would be incredible. But I'm very comfortable just with acoustic. But, yeah, so I played just acoustic yeah, on my own for ages. So I'm pretty comfortable with that. And I think it's a good thing because I can kind of, I feel like I can hold my own if I need to now. You kind of have nowhere to hide with the acoustic guitar either. Yeah. So it's nice to be comfortable and confident in that. And then in saying that, you know, when you're with the band, it's a whole new ball game and pretty daunting if you're not doing it all the time. So yeah, it'd be good to be doing
and- that. And I have to say, the Sunny Cowgirls, what a name for a band. I would certainly go there. And see them. Yeah,
but I reckon they'd be Queenslanders.
They're originally from WA, actually, I think.
Even worse. That's not even Australian.
All right. Braggy, do you want to do part two?
Oh, dude.
Part two of trivia.
Another three questions? Okay. Yep,
let's do it.
Question four. What's the name of Katie Brooks' 2022 debut album? It's a test for those two boys.
Am I allowed to do that one? Or?
Yeah, of course you are.
It's the only point I'm going to get.
That's why I put it in there.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, good. Well, that's
I got it too, Katie.
Okay. That's worth 1 point. This is worth four points, this next one.
Oh.
Question five. Name the four sections of the orchestra.
Name the sections of
the four orchestra. Sections of the orchestra. There's four sections in an orchestra in a symphony orchestra.
Oh, that's
yeah. Everyone ready? Curly, waiting for you, Curly.
I got three of the four. I think
that's okay. So. That's 3 points. You get points for good.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to get all four. Going to add them up at the end. And the last question for this one is worth 2 points. And Rossi, we talk about this artist every week, just about, no matter whether we've got a country artist on or not. Taylor Swift has 10 number one singles that have made number one in the Australian charts. Name two.
I've probably got this one.
Okay, thank you.
Curly's just ripped up the paper and thrown it away.
I'll rely on you, Katie, for that one.
That should be okay, I think. God, okay. I'm not going well if I get that wrong.
But just on that, she's had 10 number ones.
She's had 10, that's what I mean.
Fucking unbelievable.
Surely we can choose something out of that.
Fantastic.
Isn't it funny though? You hear them all the time, then you go, "Ooh, what is one of her songs?"
You hear the 15-second little bit that you've got on TikTok, and you go, "Oh, yeah, I know that." And then you hear the whole song, and you go, "Oh, yeah,
yeah."
Hey, Katie, you've shared the stage with some pretty decent people around here in Australia, so
yeah.
You've opened for the Black Sorrows.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you can't get much more Australian than Shannon Knoll.
Knollsy lives just down the road. We go to the same gym.
Truly. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty. So I used to do a lot of gigs down in Coffs Harbour. I had an agency there and they got me all of these really cool support act gigs. So that's how I got the opportunity to open for those guys. So yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
So it just kind of when you open for people like that versus doing your own gigs, it just kind of lifts that inspiration. Those shows just inspire you to be better.
Yeah.
In every way. Yeah. Wow. And they were different to me, like different genres. So it was nice for me to kind of open that portal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Joe Camilleri's, I mean, he's a master of all genres, isn't he?
He's amazing. Yeah. Oh, well, anyone could have enjoyed that gig. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about hard work.
JJ Zepp and the Falcons originally were an R&B band and Wilbur Wild was the sax player.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Right, a straight R&B band. And then he started went to that sort of reggae stuff and the, you know, Shape I'm In and then the Black Sorrows. I got to say, with Vicar and Linda in it, they're just incredible.
Unbelievable.
That band, fantastic, that band. Really smooth sounding. That would have been a cool gig.
Yeah, yes. Amazing. As I said, I just walked away going, oh, I just want to be better. You know, I just want to be the best.
It's too easy for him. He's a bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too easy.
One of those really annoying people.
Yeah, just a born entertainer. I saw him at Redfest here in the Redlands and probably was 10 years ago now. And he is just an entertainer. And when there's so many people on stage with the Black Sorrows, it is just, you cannot miss Joe.
Yeah. No. Multi-instrumentalist and just.
And he's only little. He's only little.
Yeah.
He's only little bloke.
Like Kylie.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Kylie. All right. So let us hear your stories around Tamworth, because one of the things that this show has given me is the bit of a bucket list to get to Tamworth one year, right? And one of the things that is stopping me is the expensive nature of actually staying in Tamworth for the country music, golden guitars or everything. I'd love to be there, but I think that you've either got to know someone that lives there or what have you. So share your experiences. So when did you first start going to Tamworth, and what have you been doing? What have you done there?
Yeah, so I have family out there. So as a little girl, we would go out and stay with my cousins who are still there, who we still stay with. I'm very grateful, because I know I actually did see the price of some Airbnbs, and it's very ridiculous. And all the musos talk about it, and it's hard for musos too. Like, I just think there needs to be another option other than camping, because when you're playing shows, it's nice to have a proper shower and actually do your hair and makeup. But, yeah, it's incredible. I think the best thing to do is, just because it goes for such a long time, you don't need to stay for the whole festival. Do that last weekend, do the Golden Guitars. Choose just a couple of great shows, because it's impossible. There are so many people to see in that time. It's just, you're never going to get around kind of to everyone. But I've been going since a little girl. As I said, it's changed a lot. It's changed a hell of a lot. It's a lot bigger. It's, you know, all the influencers are there now, you know, taking the videos and uploading it to TikTok and Instagram. And I think they got someone off The Bachelor to come and do a video and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, this is not Tamworth anyway. Each to their own. But yeah, it's just, the vibe is great, and it's a very family event as well. You have to do it, though. You have to do the Gong Guitars. We're going to do the Gong Guitars this year. I'm going for a bit of a manifesting experience, you know, going to go sit in the first few rows and really soak up the atmosphere.
Do a bit of positive visualization.
Yeah, I love to do that. It's daunting. And, yeah, but I love to do that at big festivals, big energy, big awards, because I think, you know, it's a good way to embody that feeling for the future. So I'm going to be doing that in a couple of shows, and I can't wait. It's just always such a buzz. It's exhausting as well. And I don't know why they put it in January, because it's so hot. It's like, it's 38 degrees in Tamworth tomorrow. So that's a normal day. And then, you know, you've got to wear the cowboy boots. So
And the flanny.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know why they need to put it in winter, so you're not sweating it out. And then you're carrying your guitar all the way up Peel Street, because I'm not Troy Cassidaly. I don't have people carrying my stuff for me. Actually, Troy probably doesn't either. He's pretty cool. I'd say he'd probably carry his own guitar. You know, you're lugging your own guitar up all the way up the street, because you've got to park, like, you know, back here in Mummy
Bum. Down the road.
That's right. To go somewhere, and it's like 38 degrees, and you get there and you're like, why did I do my makeup? It's all gone. But it's just part of it. It's just part of it. You have a beer at the end of the day, and you cool down, and it's just lovely.
And you say, how good is this?
How good is it? It's just how Aussie good country music, you know, no dodgy.
No dodgy. I mean, you know, that's the thing you're guaranteed of when you go to a country festival, is you're going to have, you know, four or five musicians on stage all playing their instruments with no backing. There's nothing else there. You know what I mean?
It's authentic. Yeah. It's the real deal.
It's
interesting we're talking about no click track.
Yes.
I mean, all week I've been thinking that rock and roll was killed by click tracks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking with the boys last week.
Yeah, I can't.
All week that's been staying with me. I've been thinking about that one.
Yeah, me too. That was a great statement from...
It made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I did a competition recently, and, you know, they were talking about backing. Oh, you know, I said, I might not have my band. Oh, can you use a backing track? No. I couldn't imagine myself with a backing track. I probably missed something, because I'm a bit, you know, sort of, I'll miss a line here or there or whatever. I just improvise. You can't do that with a backing track.
Not entirely sure, but we call that karaoke, don't we?
You know,
about, it does have that sound, doesn't it?
Talking about the click track.
It's
click
flat.
Track there, Rossi.
Yeah.
You know the song Honky Tonk Woman by the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
That starts at like 90 beats per minute, and by the time it's finished, it's like 125. And you,
I know.
Not even notice that when they play it because it gives you that, it builds that song, and it, and there has to speed up. You know,
it has to ebb and flow. A song needs to ebb and flow.
I like that. It can't be too perfect.
I had some guys working with a different drummer yesterday, and they're like going, oh, it sounds really mature. It sounds really even, and the pace is really smooth. And they're both going, and then the two of them going, we don't like it. We want our real drummer back.
Yeah.
I'm the same working. It's funny when you work with musicians in the studio, they're either real theory guys, those really smart people that know all the theory, and I don't do theory at all. Or you've got the guys like me who probably don't do it at all and do it all by feel. And then usually they sit in the middle. Most session players they know their theory plus they feel it out. And I just kind of, it's so hard for me to kind of be on the same page.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, like in the future, not too distant future, when all these AI songs start coming out. Are they going to build that sort of thing into AI where you speed up, slow down? It's,
Talking about that today. I was talking to some people about that today, and someone says, "What about if you just say, write me a song that's never been recorded before?" Now, until the entire exhaustive library, a monolithic library of all recorded works is placed together, AI is not going to be able to reference it. So,
it's impossible. AI,
it is. It's dangerous for creatives, though. It is really dangerous for creatives.
It's already dangerous in different ways,
But they said that about a lot of things, and the creative will take it.
I've been working with the AI stuff in terms of writing and press releases and bits and pieces, and you have to sub them. Boy, do you have to sub them. But I did see this guy the other day. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I saw a guy who took a song and stripped the vocal out of it and had the backing track using a tool, had the backing track and had the original track. He threw the original vocal into AI, then had a version of his voice as a model, then said, I want you to model this vocal using my tonality. He got that back, then threw that back onto the original track, and the original song had his vocal created by AI.
A good vocal?
Well, it was okay. It was passable. I think a good brief is a good brief, right? That's the problem with AI. But this, I was just sitting there going, okay, I'm going to do this. It's what I'm going to cook this up in the lab and do it at home to see what happens.
It just goes back to playing live again. That's the answer, isn't it? Because that's the connection between humans.
Stories.
When Katie sings to someone in the audience, she gets her emotions across, and that's what makes us human.
But in saying that, I'm sensing a pub gig that Curly could do just by getting AI to produce all those tracks and play them as backing tracks and have the vocals on the microphone turned down really low. I'd be sweet. I'd just play the stuff from AI and I could wow.
We could market Curly as an app.
On the banjo.
We could. Banjo pretty covers. All these banjo versions.
Maybe you can be my banjo player and you can just,
That's very good.
And of course, and you do know the difference between a banjo and a trampoline, don't you? Normally you take your shoes off and you jump on a trampoline.
poor banjo. Banjo.
So Braggy, let's do part three.
Last three questions.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is worth 2 points. What singer had a chart resurgence after their song was played on the Netflix show Stranger Things? You need to know the artist and the song.
Oh,
I've never heard of that.
You'll know that artist.
I'm a little perplexed which song it actually was. But
that's fair enough. If we can get 1 point.
I'll get the artist.
Okay.
Okay.
This could be the hardest one.
Oh. Yeah.
It's only worth 1 point.
Right.
I want to know what these songs have in common. I hope you all know all these songs.
Yeah.
It's All Over Now, Baby Blue by Graham Bonnet. It's all over now, baby blue.
I think I've got
I'll
it.
I'll Be Your Baby Tonight by Robert Palmer.
I've got it.
Be Your Baby Tonight. And If Not For You by our own Olivia Newton-John. If Not For You. Yeah.
What a great country voice.
So there's something that something that's in common with all those songs.
It's over now. No one.
Okay.
I hope you got that one, Katie.
No, I don't think so.
And the last one's worth 5 points. 5 points.
Oh gosh.
It sounds easy for the it might be easier for the older gentleman in this discussion. You got to name as many members as you can. There's five of them, five members of the Traveling Wilburys.
I could make it up.
You could make it up. Five members of the Traveling Wilburys. I probably haven't tailored the questions enough to our guests do that more. Anyway.
It's all right. I'll learn something.
You just did an experiment tonight, Kate. So.
Isn't that horrible when you know the band and you know the five members, but your mind just goes blank?
Yeah. That's just old age, mate.
It's not something you're thinking about all the time.
All right. I got two.
All right. I want to go back to Katie's back catalogue because I've got some questions about some songs on that I really like. I really like, we talked about being in touch with yourself and being in touch with the Earth, the universe. Cosmic Cowgirl.
Yeah,
I like the lyrics to that.
What
are you writing about there, Katie?
I'm such a mystic, you know, I love all that kind of stuff. I'm such a geek for astrology. You know, anyone talks about star signs, my ears prick up and I want to talk about it. And you know, dabbled in the tarot cards and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I just there's a little bit of, you know, I heard that Cosmic Cowgirl and I'm like, that's what I am. I'm a cosmic cowgirl. So I wrote a song about it. And yeah, it's kind of, it includes all that kind of stuff and we made it really whimsical and, you know, added the Dobro in and everything and it fitted really nicely.
Yeah, Dobro sounds great and that's another one listeners to have a listen to if you're listening.
Yeah.
And the other one I really like on that album is Dreamer's Tired Mind. That's got a real, that's in the minor, it's in the minor key and I'm right there around the campfire.
Just as a question again, Brady, which album?
The album. Oh, no, I can't tell you that.
Well, Dreamer's Tired Mind's actually off my debut EP. I put an EP out in 2020.
Self-titled. There you go.
Not off the album.
I nearly got him, didn't I?
You did. You were so close.
You are
well
too
done. I would have fallen for that easily. Yeah, so you did well.
No, they pick on me. They pick on me all the time, these two.
All right. So Braggy, you're going to put us out of the misery. So
okay, are you ready?
So yes. I'd love to know.
Question one, who is Declan McManus? That's Elvis Costello.
Costello.
Oh!
I got it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
got
at
it.
One point.
Okay. I what a guess.
Well done. You should have got it because I did it as a Who Am I?
Yeah, that's
I
don't
know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only Australian act to have a hit single in five consecutive decades, that's Johnny Farnham.
That's
I said that,
Farnham.
Only one I'll get right.
Katie, you may have actually done more, you know.
Katie, we're you two from two.
That's good. You
may have done more. Really?
Can I do the next one?
Yeah, finish the lyric, Curly Toey. I will squeeze the life out of you.
You will make me laugh and make me cry.
Correct.
And you will never forget. It's Hunters with Throw Your Arms Around Me.
Correct. Oh,
cool. Didn't get
three
that.
3 points. So
with three or four single variations in the 80s.
So after
do
three,
I get a bonus point?
No. After three questions, the total score of Curly and Katie?
We're on five.
Five? Excellent. Yeah. Rossi?
That's max points.
I got max. One. I got Elvis, I got Farnham, and I got Hunters and Collectors. That's five.
Oh, it's even, Stevens.
Oh.
What's the name of Katie Brooks' 2022 debut album?
Sticks, Stones, and Stories.
Stories.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Katie would have got that anyway. Yeah.
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 Yep.
The four sections of an orchestra is the brass.
Wind.
Wind, bra. Wind, string, percussion, brass.
Correct.
Wind, strings, percussion, brass. That's the four.
I got brass and string.
Okay. We'll have to go around this one individually. Curly, have you got two songs from Taylor Swift?
None.
No. Katie?
I've got Love Story, which should have to be one.
Yes, definitely.
Yep.
And I've got Red, and I'm not sure if Red would be one.
No, it's not.
I've got Love Story. I've got Love Story, and I've got Shake It Off.
Correct. 2 points to Rossi.
That was the other one I was trying to think of. Dang. Red had is one I love covering, so I just went, oh.
I love You could have had Blank Space, Bad Blood, Look What You Made Me Do, Cardigan, Willow, Anti-Hero, Is It Over Now, and All Too Well.
If you look hard enough on the internet, you'll find a video of me and one of our boys playing Shake It Off for my niece and all of her friends on the backyard somewhere.
So that's how many points were in section two, Braggy?
There, you could have got a total of 7.
I got 6.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, we missed that one out of Taylor.
Kylie.
Yeah, I got one Taylor, but we missed one.
Yeah.
Right.
So does that make us 6?
Yeah, so still even. Even Stevens, is that right? It's going to come down to the last ones. Okay, the singer that had the chart resurgence and what song?
I know it's Kate Bush.
Yes.
Is the song Running Up the Hill?
Yes.
All right.
Well done.
Glad you got that one.
Yep, I got that.
How many points for that?
2.
All right, cool.
2 each. Still neck and neck. It's neck and neck.
So do we know what these songs have in common? It's All Over Now, Baby Blue by Graham Bonnet. I'll Be Your Baby Tonight, Robert Palmer. If Not For You by Olivia Newton-John.
Bob Dylan.
Rossi knows. Oh. All written by Bob Dylan.
There you go. Didn't know that.
My wife hates Bob Dylan, and I know she reckons he's got a lot to answer for. That's what
the moment you said Graham. The moment you said Graham Bonnet, I was going to go. It's going to be Bob Dylan because Graham Bonnet also sang for Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow.
Yes, what a voice!
It's surprisingly how good he is. Surprisingly good.
But you should go back and listen to the actual original versions. They're so funny.
They are good. Yeah, I know. If Not For You.
If Not For You.
Traveling Wilbury.
Okay, who's got the 5?
I think I have. Roy Orbie. It's Roy Orbie.
Yes.
Tom Petty.
Yes.
Yep.
Dylan was in there.
Bob Dylan, yes.
George Harrison.
Yes.
Yep.
And the guy from ELO, I think, was his name, Jeff Lynne.
Yes, he is. Yes. Well done.
It's a tie.
We're going to go for a tiebreaker question.
No. We didn't get Bob Dylan for the song.
Oh, you didn't. Yeah, so Rossi won.
Yeah.
So Rossi won. Okay. Katie Bennett, how good were we?
We were pretty good.
You're very, very good. I thought I was gone.
I'm surprised. Very surprised.
Well
that
done.
That actually worked. That was a bit of fun.
Taylor Swift helped me get over the line.
Of course.
I love you, Bronwyn. I love my niece, Bronwyn. I love her.
That's unbelievable. So, Katie, it has been amazing having you on the show. All your links that your Spotify, you're not on Facebook, which is surprising.
Newly on Facebook now.
Newly on Facebook. Katie
Brooke, yeah.
So we will share your links because I loved your strategy. We talked a little bit off camera earlier when you talked about your strategy was about getting content out there before the followers. And I love that. And I think we all do that, don't we?
Yeah.
Ralmode is doing that.
Yep. I want to know, Katie, you've got a single out here. Are we looking, I don't want a scoop or anything, but we've got another album.
No, but another album like scoops.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple more singles, one or two more singles, and then there's a lot of songs that will fit really nicely on either an EP or an album. So probably towards, the end of next year, hopefully.
And have you got some shows coming up?
Yes, I've got Buckwild Country Barn Sessions on New Year's up in Townsville. So for the Queenslanders, that'll be really, really cool.
Just the name of that sounds fucking awesome.
Sounds like there's going to be peanuts on the floor.
Let's head to Buckwild.
Where is that at? Is that in the? Is that where is the venue for that?
The race course, I think, or the show race course. Yeah. There's even cocktail making classes. So I've extended my services. I said, well, I'll also be a taste tester. I'll do a set. I'll do some line dancing. I'm going to come and do it all.
The taste testing, you'll be doing the line dancing.
I'm very good. Yeah, I'm a very good taste tester. Good. So we can run a little competition. But yeah, that'll have Tamworth in January. So they're the two big ones coming up. Very, cool. very excited.
Well, that's good. We got a lot of listeners in Townsville.
Yeah, we do. Come out, get your tickets. It's going to be such a fun time.
Buck Wild Country Barn Sessions. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the lineup is unreal. Lots and lots of Golden Guitar nominees and finalists in that lineup. So.
I could imagine. It'd be like I'm sort of imagining like the Blues Brothers where you've got the cage in front of your stage and people are throwing the bottles.
Sounds great.
You would have been there, Rossi. You would have been there with gigs like that, wouldn't you?
Look, I turned up one day to do a show in Sydney, the old Petersham Inn at Max's, and it actually happened the night before. There was a band who'd done it, and we arrived, and they just left it there, and there was chicken wire at the front of the stage, and I was kind of going, what the fuck happened in here? So I got we had to cut it all down.
Legendary. Very redneck.
And that's Petersham.
Yeah, absolutely. Katie, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show tonight. Just hang around while we just do our little bit of a sign off. We'll put you out of your misery very, very shortly. So,
not at all. It's been great.
So for all our listeners out there, we've got two episodes left for the year and both of them are going to be huge. Next Friday, of course, is our end of season review. I think that's the name we'll stick with, the end of 2023. We've got many of our wonderful guests dropping by to wish everyone all the best for the season. But as well as that, each host, Braggy, Rossi and Curly, will name not only their moment of the year, because we all love our moments, they'll name their favorite three 2023 songs that we featured, their favorite three interviews, and of course, the big one, what is their big prediction for 2024? So it's going to be a great show. Please make sure you're watching that one because it is going to be a lot of fun. But then the week after that, we've got a very special guest. We've had to squeeze it in. The lady's name's Katrina Burgoyne. Grew up in Gunnedah, and she's which is just an hour away from Tamworth, and she's been living in which is Australia's country music capital, and she's been now calling Nashville home since 2017. So, what a great story! It's going to be so exciting to speak with her. She met her husband, and one of her songs is about meeting a husband in a honky tonk bar. So I cannot
and she's
wait.
She's playing Buckwild Country Barn Sessions.
Oh yes!
So you can talk about what a great experience you had dealing with us. It'd be great.
No, I think she's already been on our show, so she already knows how bad we are. Is that right, Kirk?
No.
She would love it.
Brand new and fresh.
I'm thinking of someone else.
You are thinking of someone else. So this will be our second friend from Nashville. So, of course.
Beautiful. Awesome.
Yeah. So,
I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah. And, of course, if you've enjoyed this episode and if you've enjoyed listening to Katie, thanks for being a great sport. Links will be in the show notes. And, of course, all of our links will be in the show notes. If you have liked the show, please like and subscribe. Leave a review. We're on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. We've got a website at unfilteredundiscovered.com. Don't forget, we have every song we feature on the podcast. We add them to our Unfiltered and Undiscovered playlist. Over 300 songs currently there. And we will also add Katie to our Fresh and Fierce Female Unfiltered and Undiscovered playlist. Cool. So you get two chances there to catch up. Eric. Lyrics from the playlist this week come from our other good friend in Nashville, Alison Asarch, from her song, one of the very first she released, called Neon Nobody. And I really love this line: in the town where everybody's trying to find three chords and the truth, try not to be a small town somebody, a neon nobody. So three chords and the truth. Thanks everyone for tuning in tonight, and we will see you all again next week. Thank you so much, Katie. You've been an absolute dream.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Cheers.